Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love our field and want to share with you how fascinating we find it and how much we see it as a wonderful mapping system to understand the world around us and one another, as well as ourselves. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm joined tonight by my friends from New York, Mark.
Mark Wolves, on the island of Manhattan, over by the Hudson River, and also on this island, over by the East River, is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk after having hung out and had a great day. So, beautiful weather we're having here, I have to say.
And you may notice that we all three have very different perspectives on a chart, and we're fascinated by, you know, if you had three people standing around one tree or one mountain or one elephant, they'd all have different perspectives. And it's by sharing our perspectives that you get a more three-dimensional view, and we learn from every time we work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so enjoy the slight differences in our approach. You'll notice that we rarely disagree on something fundamental. It's we're just coming at it from a different direction of what's been the keys of our study. And I always find it fascinating. I love working with other astrologers, and you two have always been a blast to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Well, and you do, you know, because everybody, I mean, I always say to my students, look at how you go into the chart, because you're going to enter a chart in a certain way, and you're usually going to enter it through your own experience base or your own vision of your chart, or what calls you to their chart will match your chart. And pay attention, because there isn't a right or wrong. It's just, you know, if we all sat and talked long enough, we'd be able to get to, you know, we'd all kind of come into similar agreement or similar places, but we all start at a different place and step into the chart in a different way. So it's kind of interesting. And it is. I always feel like I hang up and I learn something from you guys. So, like, I never thought of it that way. That's a great way to explain it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I still quote you, Heather, with the whole, when we had that conversation about the slide back in and the, you know, the war against women in the summer, when you said, well, you know, the way I look at it is we take a few steps forward and then we slip back and we have to kind of correct and argue again and push for what we really believe, and that the change is slow, but it does take place. And, you know, thousands of years ago, slavery was okay, and we eventually got to slavery is not okay. We can do it, but we have to be vigilant, you know, when they were going after the women this summer. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's a good way to frame it. So when people start moaning about it, I go, well, you know what my friend Heather said, blah, 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 and I quote you. It's like, great, because it's true. We have to kind of, you know, it's like being on a diet. When you lose weight, you know, you have to kind of keep eating the salad. Otherwise, it creeps back in.
There you are, back
in.
On the range. Yeah. It's also I see that mm-hmm. what retrograde cycles are
to help us
remember and sink in when, like, you're sewing on a sewing machine, and to lock the stitch, you sew forward, you sew backward, you sew forward again.
Mm-hmm.
That to lock in an experience, we often go through that retrograde cycle, which we went through this summer. And now the planets are moving forward. Jupiter is about to go retrograde, but not till next week. Tonight, we've already been through the fall equinox. The sun is at 3 Libra tonight. And tomorrow, the sun forms a grand trine with Mercury forms a grand trine for the next few days with Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And, no, sorry, just tomorrow, and the moon in Aquarius. So the moon's in the early degrees of Aquarius tonight, moving into that grand trine with Jupiter and Mercury, opening up our mind. Very good time to do any communication this week around the organizations or groups that you're involved with, or the big social political movements that are interesting to you, or whatever helps you expand your world with that Mercury-Jupiter trine in air signs, triangulated in with the moon in Aquarius. And we've got the Saturn working through its last, it's at 28:52 Libra. It's going to be entering the last degree of Libra very soon. And the last wind-up of looking at what Saturn has done to our, you know, our social realm, our artistic approach, our love life, everything that we consider fair and not fair, as we really do see a cycle. You know, so much came back up this summer politically and has, you know, been reexamined. And some of the sting and venom, I believe, of the more retrograde attitudes have been removed, and we're moving forward, at least in this country. A lot of the problems that we're dealing with around the globe are problems that we thought were settled already, or perspectives that don't really feel appropriate to the actions at the moment, but are still speaking of pain and trouble that people have been going through for a very long time and still needs to be honored, even though we think, you know, why are they complaining about that now? Or what's, you know, why are they so angry at us at the moment? We may see a very good reason why, or it may be a mystery. But we have to trust that this expression and this time of Jupiter in an air sign with and Saturn in an air sign, that the social political world, the debate is up, and people are expressing, because air signs call for a voice, expressing what they haven't been able to express before.
Right.
And just like in a relationship this week, the more we can express, the more loving we'll feel. The less we feel comfortable expressing, the more the buildup and resentment gets. And next weekend, the sun moves into the T-square with Uranus and Pluto, and really energizes whenever the local planets move into position with the square between Saturn and in between Uranus and Pluto, which is the defining feature of 2012 through 2015. Whenever the Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars triggers
any of those
like conjunction, opposition, or square, it's going to energize it, set it off, and you'll see action happen. So next weekend, you get one more chance to say, as we are being asked many times during these few years, what change do you want, and how can you move forward? How can you conceive where you're going, stop railing about the problem, and start looking for a solution,
right,
and start looking for a new vision? Mark, what do you see coming up this year, this week?
This week.
This week has a lot to do with this year. I think there's some of our key issues are being jiggled.
I believe we have a Venus-Mars square coming in, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they're both in fixed signs.
Mm-hmm.
Mars very strongly placed in Scorpio.
And Venus in Leo, we
often say Venus is not so great in Leo, but I think actually it's a very nice sign for Venus to be in. So Venus and Mars are both in strong signs and squaring each other. So there's the animus and anima are facing off, and that whatever conflict we feel within us between the masculine and feminine, between the action and the attraction, all of that comes up in a kind of a flash. You know, it's not something that's going to last a long time. It's just during this week, but we'll get a look at that. And it's interesting that comes just a little bit before the sun moves into the big square between Pluto and Uranus. So we're kind of feeling the Mars-Venus square as kind of a little bit of a lead up to the sun having to experience the Pluto-Uranus square, which is with us for a long time, and we keep coming back to that.
Yes, indeed. And Anne, what's your take? I mean, I like that Venus in Leo at the beginning of a school year. I think it really helps the students reach out to one another and deal with the new connections that they've had to make.
Mm.
And Venus and Mars square can have so many sparks in it, which can be great for romance that's in a good stage, but once people lock into a fight, they really lock into their fixed sign position.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that, Anne?
Well, I think that's really very true. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are having you know, relationship dynamic expressions. And I'm like, it's really very old. It's not just the current thing, it's the old thing too. It's standing back and looking at it across time and space and understanding, because Saturn is in the decan of Gemini, what the rules were you were taught about relationships as a child, the unspoken rules, the rules that come into your brain or that are part of your operating system you've never really even considered. So a lot of people I know are kind of going, well, I always thought that this is how it should be. And it's like, well, whose rule is that? So there's that going. The other thing I noticed, and I always get very excited when there's a hammer of Thor in the sky. Mm-hmm. I just love hammers of Thor because I find they're very clarifying. And what they do is they really knock the, you know, when you were playing croquet as a little kid and your ball came and whacked the guy's ball, you were then allowed to stand with your foot on their ball and your on your ball and whack it and then send their ball flying. So I find hammers of Thor kind of like that in croquet. And so what a hammer of Thor is this week is with Venus as the handle. And the square is between Uranus and Pluto. Both form a sesquiquadrate to her, which is a stressful aspect that demands we take action. So we're going to be feeling like we really have to take action, Uranus square Pluto, and evolve or change or shift something important in our lives. And then at the same time, we're going to have to do it from a perspective of love, because we're talking to Venus in Leo as the handle. And so Venus in Leo is going to say, well, what is it I love? Or perhaps what is it I don't love? And come after it with a hammer. Now, the hammer of Thor, of course, was a magical hammer. He could make beautiful jewelry with it. He could also smite the tops off mountains. So we might find that the hammer is bringing us something good. We might also find that it smites a couple mountaintops in our lives. It's a very powerful energy, and what it does is it helps, as it bangs away at our insides or it bangs away at our outsides, it helps us become clear about what we really want. The same way, like I was flying to Florida this weekend for my uncle's funeral, and there was this little kid that just was screaming on the plane. Every time he just into the mood to scream, and, you know, no indoor voice, no mother sitting on his head. The whole plane was ready to take the child out. And, of course, it's not his fault, it's the parents, but it was that sense of, and it was like, I thought, well, just what the energy's like. You know, it's just on your last nerve, stomping away on your insides. And that's what he was doing. And so the hammer of Thor this week is going to just push that last little part of us that's resistant to change or perhaps has been arguing that it doesn't wanna. It'll push it into, well, I gotta. And so it's understanding the, you know, that shift is really important because we do tend to get stuck. And a lot of times we don't change unless we're in pain. I mean, some people do. I mean, I have friends who are always evolving, but I know myself, you know, I'll kind of sit in a situation often longer than I should just because I have a lot of fixed energy in my chart and I don't really want it to change. I want it to stay the same. You know, and so this week with the Hammer of Thor, followed by that lovely full moon on the T-square with the moon and Uranus together with Pallas Athena, we're going to see some stuff we might not want to see. But it'll be very clear at the end of the transition. We'll be going, okay, I didn't really want to know that, but now that I know it, now I have to figure out what I'm going to do about it. And I think that part is very clarifying. So that's the part I'm really looking forward to. And I'm also really curious because it's, you know, it's big in my chart how it's going to show up. Because I tell you, you know, I've been going, okay, what's happening today? You know, so it's fun. But it also is evolutionary changes. We're being asked to evolve. We're being asked to see things in a way we never saw it before and look at it with a different perspective. And I have to say, I find, even though these aspects can be stressful, I find them incredibly invigorating because on the other side, you know, if you're showing up and you're doing the work and you're answering the mail and you're opening the door, you figure out stuff that's really important for your future. So even
that's
if it's stressful.
Not feel like. Yes. Like, okay, and then it's all done on Monday.
Right.
Because we really are in a three-year
evolution. Three-year evolution,
intensity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The quote I started this week's article and sort of been my motto this week, we must let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us. That's a quote from Joseph Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to fit this evolutionary time. Very, very well.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting that we're getting all this chance to evolve, and just with, as Mark said, Venus and Mars are square. And that fixed energy, as you were talking about, can be particularly difficult in couples. In, you know, we talk about the anima and animus, the tension within, but it can also be a royal pain in relationship, because people square off, and they're feeling this urgency or this excitement or just feeling, you know, like
really
too much
off.
Happening for them, you know,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Could be feeling anxious or twitchy or tired or just spread a little thin.
Mm-hmm.
Or excited about the next stage, or frustrated because it hasn't started yet for them. But the tendency is to take that tension and put it between the couple, in between each other, rather than hold hands and deal with it together.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can notice, just kind of that in a fixed sign, Venus and Mars, our tendency, you know, we're talking about the squaring off between our romantic heart and our need to be alone, between our extroversion and our introversion, between our, you know, wanting to see the world in a beautiful way and the side of us that is snarky and cynical. And that that tension between, you know, holding to myself, where the couple can be one person wants to pull within just as the other one's feeling extroverted and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
If we start to lock horns, no one wins.
Right.
So notice that locked horn place and stand next to each other rather than across from each other and say, honey, let's look at this problem over here in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, you know, we're having trouble making a decision about this. What's really going on? Try to loosen up the energy before you, or notice that you're squaring off. But don't get too attached to the feelings involved. Don't say, this person's always going to be this way. Just know, right now, it feels like we're squared off. And what I am noticing is people are arguing, thinking that they are arguing. And when I'm hearing them, they're saying the same thing. It just hasn't occurred to them that they're saying the same thing because they're so sure that they're disagreeing.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of slow that down and look at the difference between the energy and the subject at hand.
Right.
And we'll see how that plays out in time for the debates.
Yeah. Well, and I think it also becomes part of the dance of listening, you know.
Yeah.
It's understanding, you know, we don't really listen very well, or we listen, you know, and we're anticipating what we're going to say next, or we're thinking about that next. And I do find from time to time, you know, I know with me, I, you know, a lot of information to deliver in a reading, lots of stuff to say, lots, you know, they say something, oh, yeah, that's this, oh, yeah, that's that. But very often the people just aren't listened to. And this is a really big week when people are feeling overwhelmed to just kind of sit down and go, okay, tell me again. I don't think I heard you right. Explain to me, because Mercury does make aspects with the nodes of fate. He does want to be heard. He does want you to be able to express yourself. And
that
to feel heard and seen.
That's going to be key.
Huh?
That
yeah.
Jupiter Mercury trine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mark, one of the troubles with thick signs, people get very stiff, physically stiff and emotionally stiff. You're a yoga teacher. What advice would you give people on the physical realm for the parts of them that have gotten stiff emotionally in response to some of these aspects?
Well, it's interesting that wherever the stiffness is in our body, we're holding on to something there. And very often, if you do something physically to loosen up, you'll realize somewhere that you're holding emotionally or intellectually, and it'll come to your awareness. And you'll let it go just as you did the physical. So you can work it in either direction, actually. You know, if you do some exercises to let go emotionally of something you're holding on to, then there will be a physical release as well. But you can move it in either direction. And sometimes it's easier just to do the go in from the physical, because it's a different kind of work, and sometimes we can do it a little more in a just do it kind of a way. And, you know, that kind of thing is likely to come up this week, because the fixed signs usually have to do with emotions. Very often it's our emotions that become fixed. And so to do a little bit of physical release work this week would be a good idea, and then let that show where the tension is in the emotional. And
yes,
that's your chance to let it go.
That's really interesting. So when you're working with someone and they've got something really stuck in their body, when it physically shifts physically, emotionally it goes too? And then does it clear, like in, if it's a relationship issue they're trying to work out, do you find that it works as a tool to help them get clear on what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as they, in seeing it, they say, oh, I'm ready to let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're not, though.
Right.
And so they have the awareness, and they say, but I'm right. And until my partner comes around, this isn't going to change.
This isn't going to change.
And so they put it on, you know, someone else. And
I'm right, you're
wrong.
The whole,
and they get to hold the tension in their body as well. But sometimes, you know, when you realize, oh, there's that same knot, you know.
Same, it's back again.
Maybe I will still have to do this piece of work.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
So
now that's really interesting, because that actually makes
a lot
of sense.
Do you have anybody on the line?
I believe we do. We had people when we signed in. We have people.
Okay.
We do have people on the
line. And let's take a caller and get
going.
We've got only about 10 minutes left.
10 minutes left. Okay, 631-868. You're on the line. Can we help?
Hi, Ann, Heather, Mark. It's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi. Sick. Pneumonia.
Sick. Oh, not good.
Quickly,
okay, but I promise not to say the M word.
You what?
I promise not to say the M word.
The M word? What's the M word?
You know I'm going to say it. It ruins your birthday.
Can't say it.
So what can we help you with, Debbie?
Okay. Do you see a positive move?
June 29th, 1959, 1110 in Queens.
You're good.
June 29th, 1959, 1110 in Queens, p.m. 1110 p.m., yeah.
Yes.
Positive move, meaning changing home.
What you're talking about, positive move?
Yeah.
You know, where I'm going to move, where I'm going to be happier, or
yeah,
any move at all.
Your house?
Yeah, where I live.
Or you work?
No, where I live.
Are you thinking town? Just house?
Just residential move.
Okay. You know you're not going to feel settled no matter where you were. You could be in the Garden of Eden and until Uranus and Pluto get off your sun. It really doesn't matter where you live.
Oh, no.
So, you know, you don't worry about happy. Worry about better.
Okay.
Very funny, Heather.
Know that you may, that it could be better and that it will be a place that you can do renovations on, and as you're changing and improving your physical environment, you're doing the same thing on internal level, because the aspects aren't so much to where you live but as to who you are, and sometimes who you are needs a different place of where you live. Neptune's going to be going back and forth sextiling your moon for a while, so the hunger for a better home is very strong. I can see that.
Yeah,
now are you in the process of moving right now?
No. No, I wish.
Okay. You wish. And you're not because?
Just, you know, I'm in New York. It's very expensive.
So the change, I don't think, you could look for the change in your house. But I think that there's some other changes that could be made in your life that will help you get ready for the move. That thinking that you can't do any of those changes until you move is a waste of your time. So don't worry about the house so much. Is like, what do you want to change that will make your life feel better to you? And then move into a house with the changes in your life. You know, like bring the changes with you rather than wait till you get into the new house to change them.
Okay. Kind of the difference between I'm going
to
be happy when I lose 5 pounds, but I never go on a diet.
Right.
So
because
I'm just going to go on a diet and lose the 5 pounds and start the living. Yeah, I think it's not a bad time for you with Jupiter in the fourth. Sometime this year, I would think you would get some new housing or new opportunity for housing because Jupiter's through the fourth, similar to 2000, 88, 76, and 64. Each of those years, you could have moved. That said, the chart really wants you to do some internal work and really release some fears around the moon, because the moon is getting a trine, a sextile from Neptune, and it's about to get the opposition from Saturn. So Saturn opposite the moon, well, if I change my home, but it's really about changing emotions. So I would get, with your chart, Venus rules that third house, and so Venus in Leo is giving her permission to start talking about what she would like. And giving her positive, you can have this, let's figure out what we want to do, and reframing, because she's in Virgo's house, so she tends to worry, rather than saying, okay, let me figure out how I can help this. Because with the Saturn opposite the moon can very much be the moon in Jupiter, or move, and then Jupiter in the fourth is very much a move, too. So, Mark, what do you think?
Okay, I think, Debbie, we've talked to you a couple of times in the last few weeks. I'd like to try to get on to the next caller.
Oh, okay.
And please let us know what you're gonna, how you feel about that.
Okay.
Stay in touch.
Okay,
but
thank
we're
going
to see if we can get on to more people. Thank you.
Good.
Take the next caller.
Hi, 540-519. You're on the air. Can we help?
Hi, it's Danielle. 61381.
Hello, Danielle. I'm sorry, what was your data?
61381.
Okay.
9:30 a.m.
Okay.
In Alton, Illinois, Alton.
Okay, and what's your question, Danielle?
Well, I haven't been able to get rid of the Scorpio or let him go, and the Leo that I met, I scared him away, and he hasn't talked to me. And is he going to come back, and what to do?
Well, you have that, the Gemini in you gets along with the Leo, and the Scorpio in you gets along with the Scorpio. And you say it's the Leo that you're interested in?
Yeah, and the Scorpio actually has a sun in Libra, like 23 degrees Libra. It's like double-minded, the Libra and the Scorpio.
So,
but I like the Leo, and I he won't talk to me. He's scared. I scared him. Coming on too strong.
Yeah. Do you have his birth information?
Not right off.
Okay. It sounds like you might be a little intense for the Leo, but if he's afraid of you, he's not going to be your mate. You are intense. That Moon in Scorpio, Venus in Cancer trine, you are intense. If he can't take the heat,
he can't be your partner.
Right. Mm-hmm. And finding somebody attractive who won't talk to you is part of your tendency to be more comfortable longing for someone than being happy with someone who's actually interested in you.
Okay.
So
well,
just kind of look at some of your emotional patterns, because your Venus is catching the crossfire this year between, it's going to be Pluto's opposing it and Uranus is squaring it. You're really looking at how your emotional defenses serve you and don't serve you, and how you can make better, enjoy your emotional life better. I think this is a pretty complex pattern. It's not just a matter of two people. And there's some really good work that can happen here that can lead you to, real love.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing, Mark?
Well, I think, when I see a chart like Danielle's, I'm always like, part of your nature is so intense with that Moon in Scorpio. And then the Gemini part is the chirpy, happy part. So we have to kind of say the chirpy happy's there. The chirpy happy pulls them in, but you have to show them the Scorpio really soon before you get further in the relationship, so that if they can't deal with your emotional intensity, you know that this isn't a good place for you to hang. Because they're going to see the Leo rising. They're going to see the Gemini. They're going to go, gee, she's fun. She's happy. She's it. But underneath is that Scorpio moon. So when they're afraid of it, you have to go, thank heavens you told me you were afraid of it, because if you're afraid of me, I don't want to be with you.
And because that Moon in Scorpio is one of your gifts.
And that is one of your gifts. So you want to show it soon. I always think of it as that movie Cocoon, when the guy's on the boat and he's looking in the woman in the window and she's taking her skin off and he freaks out and he runs up to Brian Dennehy. And Brian Dennehy pulls his eye down to show him he's an alien, too.
We have 10 seconds left.
And he goes, oh, my God, you're an alien, too. And he's like, yeah, you know, you have to show them the intensity so that if they can't take the heat, they don't stay with you. Because
right.
you can't be with
and
a man who can't be
intense. And we have to say goodbye.
Yep.
We have 10 seconds.
We're good. Okay, we're off.
Saying goodbye. This is Heather Owen Robbins. And good luck, and keep us posted. Heather Owen Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, joined by Mark.
Mark Wolks in New York. Thanks for tuning in.
And Ann Orley in New York. At my bright red desk. And have a great week, guys.
Week.
Watch out for that hammer of Thor.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.